Good morning. My presentation is about the development of an individual-based functional and architecture modeling system for Kotlin. Cloud-point modeling actually can be grouped into three major paradigms. The first one is basically called the functional modeling. It is also called the physiological or process-based modeling. It is focused on physiological processes and crop-environment interaction. Some of the examples of this include Gaussian for Kotlin, the GSAD, and the corpses suite of models. The second paradigm is basically called the architectural modeling. It is also called the structural or geometrical or morphological modeling. This one focuses on representation of the shape and orientation of plant organs in three-dimensional space. Examples of this model include some of the earlier air system models. The third category is based on the functional architecture modeling. It is kind of an integration of the first and the second category. It is also called the virtual plant modeling. It links plant 3D architecture to physiological processes and vice versa. Examples include air pH and also the Gaussian 3D for Kotlin. Kotlin is probably one of the most studied crops. The example for the physiological modeling for Kotlin include Cerataga, Cerataga Plus, Kotlin Logica by Hearn in Australia, you know, crop group Kotlin by the Disaster Group, and also crop system by the Dr. Stoiker, the Gossam by Baker, and also Kotlin took by Marani. The examples for the architecture Kotlin modeling include some of the earlier, you know, probability 3D based Kotlin model by Rafai, and also some of the air system-based 3D Kotlin models by Peter Rome in Australia. The third category, basically, examples for the functional architecture modeling for Kotlin include the air system, basically, an old color extension of the old color with the air system is 3D model by Hannah and her in Australia, and also the Gaussian 3D by Jalas. Most of the physiological-based models are actually either plant, average plant or cohort-based. There are some limitations to this approach. One of them is basically the physiological states of the individual organs are not maintained during the simulation. And also, they have limited flexibility to incorporate some of the physiological traits or genetic modeling. The other limitation, basically, they have limited capability for integration across the biological scales. If you look at the biological scale from cell, from genetic to molecular, to subcellular to cellular organ to plant population. So at each of these steps in biological scale, you have the gene environment interactions. But most of the model are right now is as plant networks. So for some of even the molecular biologists for the co-tier analysis and associated mapping and gene network modeling. So basically the modeling from gene all the way to the plant network. So there is a big gap from gene to plant or even to organs. So in order to truly simulate the GEM interaction, it is necessary for us to dissect this black box between genes and the plant. Individual-based functional architecture modeling, in this type of model, basically the physiological state of all individual organs as maintained during the simulation, and also the development of individual organs are maintained, including physiological processes. The physiological states are also mapped to the architectural states, and then visualized in three-dimensional space for all those organs, as the organ, plant, and population levels. The advantage of this type of approach basically is increased the biological resolution and allows further refinement of some physiological processes. The other way is to overcome some of the limitations of the average plant or cohort-based approach. The objective of this study was to develop basically an individual-based functional architecture and Kotlin modeling system to better understand the effect of micro and macro environment on the growth and development of Kotlin, and also develop a platform that provides the capability to integrate across biological scales from genes all the way to plant population. Our starting point right now is basically at the organ level. Kotlin is a plant that has tremendous architectural plasticity. The figure on the left is basically a cotton plant at 24 pounds square centimeters. The one on the right is a cotton plant at 3 pounds per square meter at the same age. You can see there is a tremendous variation in number of branches, number of squares, number of leaves, branch size, and also leaf size. Obviously, they have the same genetic makeup. The difference is mainly because of the environment, especially basically, the supply demand allocation, the competition for space and the nutrients below and above ground, and also the plant response to the microenvironment. Our question is basically, how can our models capture these dynamics? This article is showing an organ architecture of a cotton plant. It's familiar to almost everybody. Basically, you have a cotton plant, you have a primary shoot and a primary root. Primary root have a number of natural roots. And natural roots may have a number of root segments at different soil layers. On the primary shoot, you have a secondary shoot, and also each secondary shoot may have a number of tertiary shoots. So this kind of a repeating pattern on the shoot structure. But regardless of which, whether it's for primary, secondary, or tertiary shoot, you always have some of organs. These are, organized by the node. So like the leaf braid, leaf petiole, internode, floating structures, squares, flowers, balls, and also the node is at the top, you have the apical meristem. And also you have a number of dominant buds. Each of these dominant buds can also have a potential to develop into another branch. So our push was basically we want to capture this tree structure in the program, so we maintain the state of all the individual organs during the simulation. This actually is a schematic representation of the functional architecture model system we have developed. This one is we use the same platform for both rice and the cotton, the one total version already discussed. So on the left side, under the purple one, actually is the physiological component. So you have the soil processes, nitrogen diffusion, nitrification, denitrification. All those processes are very similar to most of the physiological based crop models. And then are the organs is the difference basically from the traditional physiological model at the organ level. So we are basically maintaining the state of all individual organs. So the processes are related to the individual organs, like the organ initiation, growth, senescence, respiration, photosynthesis, supply demand, and nitrogen and water uptake. So the processes that we simulate them are at the organ level instead of the average plant level. So on the right side is basically is the architecture component. So the architecture component, we also have organs and the processes. The organ, it's a similar structure like the physiological component. But in here, we only keep the architecture attributes. The reason we want to separate the objects for physiological versus architecture component is basically we won't be able to run this program even without architecture component. So we can disable the architecture part and we can still run the physiological part in our simulation. So some of the major processes for the architecture is light interception, space computation for space, and then the microenvironment of this architecture including the light quantity, temperature, humidity, wind, or even CO2, whatever is microenvironment you are interested. So the main component of this architecture is called the architecture engine. It has four major components. One is basically is the object mapping. This one basically maps a physiological plant object into a 3D plant object. The second component is based on organ geometry. This one is basically draws the shape of individual organs in three-dimensional space. The third component is basically the organ topology. This one is basically, you have this organ, surface, 3D surface for individual organ, where you put them in the space. So the topology basically is responsible for place the plant, to arrange the organs in a three-dimensional space so that mimics the plant three-dimensional architecture. The last part is based component is 3D, or visualization. In the program, you can have a 3D component, but we want to have this 3D component displayed on a two-dimensional screen. So that is the function of the 3D visualization. This graph actually simulates the cotton, 3D cotton plant. I'm going to play a video on this one to demonstrate the growth of the cotton plant in three-dimensional space starting from a cotton seed. It's basically when the cotton emerges, you have a primary shoot, main shoot. And the main shoot, the first several nodes, they have what is called branches. Those branches are called monopodial branches. the multipodial branch is basically, you know, they don't produce squares or flowers, but later we have more sympodial branch. So flowers and squares, flowers and borders come from the sympodial branch. You know, I would like to show you basically this, you know, the leaf size, the size of each individual organs, including the flowers, you know, the internode and the cotton balls, are basically based on the nuclear supply demand. So each leaf is, you know, is similar to the individual source and sink, and also include other organs. So this one is a multi-source, multi-sink model and allocations. So you can see basically, on some of the cotton balls, you will see the size are larger than some of the other ones. It means because it has more supply at that specific location. So, and also you can see the leaf is the same. So some of the leaf areas at the tip of those branches are smaller. It means because at that time you have a lot of cotton balls, and then most of the supply goes to the cotton growth, cotton ball growth. So our eventual objective basically want people to simulate the GEM environment interactions, you know, have realistic coverage of the supply, demand and allocation within the plant, you know, to do realistic light interception, you know, organ initiation, see the avoidance, you know, space and object detection. Ideally basically the genetic makeup just provide a potential for the plant to grow. But the actual how a plant grows, how many branches it's going to produce, how many fruits it's going to produce, the actual architecture, the shape of the plant is determined by the environment, the interaction between the environment and the genetic makeup. As mentioned earlier by Dr. Wilson in his presentation, so there are some big challenges to this approach. The first one is basically data connection. You know, right now you have the connected data on the individual level for both physiological attributes and also the architecture attributes. And also for the model calibration and validation. Now we need to calibrate the, architecture, physiological traits, the architecture traits and the physiological phenology. You know, basically at the organ, the plant and the population levels. So you have different levels of calibration we need to conduct. Another challenge is basically is more of the technology, the computer memory. Basically, if you look at one cotton plant, it depends on your plant density. You know, you may have several hundred objects in your computer. So, you know, for a single cotton plant at a lower density, you can probably run with a 32-bit computer, so when you have a maximum of 4 gigabyte memory. But if you want to run multiple plants like 20x20. Now you have to use a 64-bit computer and or probably even fewer computers because the memory. I think our biggest challenge is not the memory because it's very 64-bit computer is very common. The biggest challenge is the CPU time. It's very slow, as Dr. Wilson mentioned earlier, to simulate the population, the individual plant, especially the population dynamics. If you have the light interception, if you use the photon mapping to run, even just a single cotton plant is permanent. Take several hours to run the simulations. And if you run multiple plants, it will be much even slower. So in summary, basically plant models are developed to predict, explain, and integrate. So it depends on your objective, you may decide to choose different approaches. But for ours, we are more interested in realistically capturing the, GEM interaction. So the level we have is on the organ level. So we want people to drill down all the way, from organ to cell to cell and all the way to the cells. And we want to integrate upward to the plant and the population level. So we want to be able to truly capture the, gene environmental interaction. So we the plant models can be applied to a wide range of environments and help the plant breeding. Thank you very much. Yes.
As you were showing that development, your little video.
Yeah.
Early on, you could see why it changes, and then after a while, I was looking at going as the movie quit running, right? As you get further along, the changes become very, very incremental.
Yes.
Visualizing it in real time, do we get a whole lot of data chopping it up into just numbers. You spend a lot of time doing the computation to do it in real time, but what you see in real time diminishes very quickly. Does that make sense?
I think I answered your question. Basically, you know, one way basically we want to do, most of the, the physiological based model you run, you can't see what it looks like. So on this, on the 3D visualization, you can see if what you simulate is what you can see from the field. So that's one way to look at. In terms of the numbers, I think we are not interested in generating so many numbers, but we are more interested in the mechanism. You know, what is the supply demand allocation? You know, what is, the gene control of these processes. So eventually, this one just give us the way to see it, but we are more interested in the mechanism. Especially for us, we want to, I think genetic gene modeling is a very, very hard topic. But we want people to really have a platform that allows to drill down, get to the genes. But obviously, a lot of plants are the model the plant population level. It's very, you don't have the flexibility to drill down. Right now, we do have it, because we are looking right now the need for expansion for the rice. So, we can tie to the cell division. Basically, right, for example, rice leaf, you have a division zone, extension zone, and a maturing zone. So if you can really truly capture the dynamics of the real growth now, you can basically simulate the leaf dimensions and the leaf size dynamically just based on cell divisions. So that's the next step. We are going to the cells and then going to the other cells. But obviously, there are some areas we want people to do it. But that's the direction we are moving. Thank you. Yes. Right now, we are still working on some of the details, the net interception that we haven't done yet. We have not.
Another question?
There's one more.
Yes. It seems that what you're having is a lot of problems with your model itself. And on the second to last slide, you actually talked about how difficult it was, per se, to run your model. Well, I think that comes down to you're trying to do too much with too little. Look, I'm a PhD student, and publications sound great with a beautiful model.
Yeah.
But the problem is, why don't you just take a step back? Instead of saying, we're going to make just use a triangle that actually changes in size versus leaf angle. Why don't I just use a straight line and a circle to indicate a node? Why don't I just use a circle that actually opens up to indicate a ball? The computational power that you use would be so much faster than actually trying to model an actual leaf that you've actually used to design. You can take leaf areas of a number of leaves growing throughout a certain day, you can grow it through a certain growing season, and you can use that to work into your model over time. You would be able to move a lot faster in that 20 by 20 area that you were talking about. You could do that in a very quick area. It could take up from hours to well within a time frame of maybe, say, 5-10 minutes.
I think that's a good question. But for us, we are looking at long terms. We are not looking at a few years. For a PhD project, we just focus on the specific component. If you just represent a leaf by a triangle, or by an internal by a cylinder, you are not really capture the the dynamics of cotton plant. Even for any plant. So if you cannot represent the the true shape and three dimension of leaves and internal. Your simulation is going to be off, far off. So we want to have a kind of a platform. We were able to expand to truly capture the object in three-dimensional space, and then to have the light interceptions. We want to make sure the light interception really reflects, the light interception of a plant. But this requires your object dimension matches the object dimension of the one you want to simulate.
Absolutely, I understand that, except for the same problem that you just said, is that the model may be incorrect. Yes, it may be using triangles and sticks, but you're actually trying to model actual leaves within a program. So your model can also be incorrect because you're trying to model a 3D simulation based upon what information that you have. You took leaf areas, you took leaf sizes, you took all the same thing that you could also simply model with, say, sticks,
You can, but you may not be able to go faster. But the framework here allows to go faster. Like, for example, the leaf size, okay, for a rice plant. So So you're not supposed to fix leaf size at different node positions. So the leaf size of rice plant is supposed to be determined by your supply demand allocation. Can your model do it? That would be a big question. I think that we are asking right now. Because you look at a lot of the rice models like Oriza 2000. So they fix the leaf size at different node positions. You know, 15 centimeter, 23 centimeter, you know, 30, or they have a fixed, you know, format. For us, we do want to do that. We want to the supply demand allocation determine the, you know, the dynamics, the shape, and the size of the leaves. This is also similar like that for the panicker. For example, rice panicker, you know, if you grow very good conditions, rice panicker can be very large. But if you know, look at a return crop, rice panicker is very small. They have the same genetic makeup. White panicker is too small. So mainly because, you know, you don't have enough supply to make a large panicker. So the panicker size is determined at the time of panicker initiation based on the supply demand at that time. So we won't be able to capture that one without prefixing some of the values. So that's when we are moving. Or even though, you know, it's complicated, but I think there's a great potential for us, you know, to expand it, you know, basically to truly capture the, you know, the dynamics of plant growth and development.
Thank you.